Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have this on the line, James Nienhaus. Now, we've talked to James in the past about his book, Why Not an Old Earth? And, of course, the basic theme is, well, we really do have a young Earth, and in fact, what it says in the Bible is basically true. That this is not an Earth that's been here billions and billions and billions of years, and do not believe it when they tell that science has proven it, because science is based upon empirical observation and the ability to be able to reproduce what the experiment, and how many people observe the Earth here billions and billions and billions of years ago, and how are we going to reproduce that experiment? Well, it's all a theory. It's a wonderful theory, but there is so much to suggest that the Earth is not billions and billions and billions of years old. But we're not going to be talking necessarily about that. We're going to be talking about lots of things today. James, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself? James, are you there? There, now, that we should. James, are you there?
Yes.
All right, fine. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I'm 50 years old. I became a Christian at age 26, 4 years after having had graduated from Dartmouth College with a degree in geology. And I became a Christian at age 26, like I said. But still, even after becoming a Christian, becoming born again, I'd still at that point in time looked at Genesis as going, well, I guess it's just mythology. I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and I have received His Spirit, so I know that things are different now. But I guess Genesis is still mythology, because everybody knows that evolution is true and the Earth is billions of years old. Then finally, at age 30, I picked up a book called The Genesis Flood by Henry M. Morris, who formed the Institute for Creation Research. His landmark book, the Genesis Flood, and it's like the scales came off of my eyes, Dr. Stan. And finally, the geology that I learned in college made sense to me. That is to say, vast sedimentary layers, which were obviously laid down at the bottom of a body of water, layers that are stacked like pancakes, with billions of creatures entombed therein, can it be explained by a global hydrologic catastrophe, and by that only? So that's kind of a background. And I've been studying this material as a geologist, avocationally, for 20 years, and then I sat down and wrote my first book, That Old Earth, Why Not, 3 years ago, and I'm lecturing now and selling the book.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you also have been studying what's happening as far as earthquakes and shifting earth crust. And why don't you sort of talk some about some of those things? Because certainly with this terrible, terrible catastrophe we've had over there, in Indonesia and in India and Thailand, a lot of people are interested in this sort of thing. So why don't you pick that story up?
Sure. Well, the tsunami there in the East Indian Ocean, it was a plate, the oceanic plate, I believe it was the Australian plate. Tension had built up between it and the adjoining plate, the Burmese plate, the Burma plate. And that stress was relieved with that earthquake. And with that earthquake that caused the tsunami, that plate, the Australian plate, jumped up suddenly about 20 or 30 feet. And in so doing, all the water...
Hold that thought there for just a moment.
Have you?
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, with us today is Mr. James Nienhaus, and he's written a book. We've interviewed him on it in the past. It's called Why Not an Old Earth? And, of course, it's sort of a strange title because the book really is suggesting we do have a young Earth. But today, now, we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the things that are happening and, of course, some of the cataclysmic events we've recently seen, with this shifting of the plates of the Earth that caused the great tsunami. So James was beginning to tell us a little bit about this sudden shift that had occurred. And do these plates actually move back and forth? Or did this one plate just simply move up? We know sometimes the Earth will actually open up. We saw this up in Alaska, maybe 20 or 30 years ago when they had the great earthquake there. But we really live on a very unstable Earth. Most people don't understand the core of this Earth is just full of molten lava, and we occasionally see manifestations of it. But of course, this is a planet with all sorts of things going on that the average individual is totally unaware of. We just want to live our lives, but unfortunately, we live in a planet that really is changing and changing dramatically. So, pick up the story there, James.
Sure. To begin, the name of the book is Old Earth, Why Not? Old Earth ! Why Not? ! And my website for the listeners is genesisveracity.com. You spell veracity V-E-R-A-C-I-T-Y, genesisveracity.com. There's some interesting articles there at that website, too, I think your listeners might be interested in. But this tsunami and earthquake there in the East Indian Ocean, as I was saying, the plate, the Burmese plate, jumped up rapidly because stress was relieved. And stress was relieved because, as you were saying, Dr. Stan, the plates, there's tension building up between the plates. And these plates are like the cracked egg, the cracked pieces of a hard-boiled egg. There are 13 of these pieces, these cracked eggshell pieces, if you will, making up the ocean, or the crust of the Earth. And two of these plates were grinding side by side against each other there in the East Indian Ocean. The tension was relieved suddenly, and the Burmese plate jumped up suddenly about 30 feet. That is, the ocean floor jumped up suddenly 30 feet there in the East Indian Ocean. Therefore, all the water overlying that whole area that jumped up...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is James Nienhaus, and he was just talking about this cataclysmic event that occurred when one of the plates, that's called the Burmese plate, moved up suddenly about 30 feet, 20 or 30 feet, and then the water overhead was displaced, and that's really what triggered this tsunami. Is that a fair statement, James?
Yes, that's right, Doctor. Yeah, that whole area, the whole is Australian plate, it was rubbing against the Burmese plate. And as Dr. Stan was alluding to earlier, these plates rub against each other because below it is the mantle of the Earth, and within the mantle, of course, is the core. But the mantle of the Earth is molten material, semi-liquid plastic material, if you will, a molten material that circulates, the convection. And these materials move underneath the crust and push these plates of the crust around, and they grind against each other. Some of them dive under others. For instance, the plate in the Pacific Ocean west of South America dives under South America, and that's what heated at depth and rose up as the mountains of the Andes, the volcanoes and mountain uplifts of the Andes, which happened rapidly during the global catastrophe. These plates were moving about rapidly during the global catastrophe, that is Noah's flood. And the movements that we see now, Dr. Stan, are merely residual from that runaway plate movement during the flood year.
Well, of course, don't we actually have a lot of volcanic activity in the eastern part of California, up around Lassen and China Lake and Mammoth Lake, and going right on up to Mount St. Helena in Oregon and Mount Rainier in Washington?
Yes. Yes, merely residual movements, plate movements, from that runaway movement during the flood year. And also, you know, just a steady state, static, if you will, condition of earthquake inducement through movement of these plates by just a stabilized, if you will, mantle convection of in the earth's mantle material.
Well, do you anticipate there'll be more, or do you think that things are going to quiet down, or do we have any way of really knowing?
I think it's more or less a static situation, as I was saying. You know, I do believe the flood with the runaway plate tectonics during the flood year was only 4,400 years ago. That's around 2,400 B.C. So I think much of the tectonism that we've seen since there has been merely residual plate movement from that runaway plate subduction during flood. And I say runaway plate subduction during the flood year because during the flood, the mid-oceanic ridges were separating rapidly. Mid-oceanic ridges look like the seam on a baseball running through the ocean floor when you look on a map. And those zones of separation were separating rapidly during the flood year. North and South America moved rapidly away from Europe and Africa during the flood year as these plates separated, and water and magma vented forth through these mid-oceanic ridges, these zones of separation in the Earth's oceanic crust.
Well, you know, I think it's really so interesting that as we contemplate, how did all these fossils get there? Now, of course, things are dying in the ocean now, but we're not creating new fossil layers in the ocean. There has to be a cataclysmic event where literally billions of organisms are trapped under a pile of sediment, and that's how you get your fossil layers. But there had to be a cataclysmic event to lay down the sediment. The same thing with the formation of coal. I mean, you had to have a very lush, growth, and then you had to have a cataclysmic event that would come along and, of course, compress that that area and bury it. And the same thing as far as oil is concerned. There had to be some, I mean, people that would try to tell you, oh, this is all dinosaurs, you know, and in fact, I've seen some of these ads. I remember back in 1973 when that we had the oil shortage, and they had these cartoons on the television. They said, we're running out of oil, and there's no more dinosaurs to form new oil. And I wonder how many people honestly believe that oil came about because of a lot of dead dinosaurs. Well, I suppose if you believe evolution, you believe almost anything, but that is so ridiculous. And this is obviously comes from organic matter, a cataclysmic event that buries oil, or the products that eventually become oil underneath a layer of sediment on top. So everything points to this great flood. And yet, of course, the evolutionists try to poo-poo this, and yet in every civilization, whether it be the Sumerians or whether it be the, you know, the Aztecs or the Incas or the Egyptians, there's always the story of the Great Flood. Even in ancient Chinese lore, always the story of the Great Flood. And yet, of course, modern-day science says, oh, no, that didn't occur. Believe us, the world has been around here billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of years. Now, we're scientists. Why, you can trust us. The trouble is they've had so many problems. They had the Piltdown Man. They had the Nebraska Man. And they were all frauds. I wonder how many other frauds there are and when, of course, people are going to begin to say, you know, maybe scientists aren't right all the time.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the feathered reptile was recently trumpeted in China as being another missing link. Of course, none have been found at this point. Archaeopteryx was fully bird with the somewhat reptilian head of structures, but it's been shown to be a warm-blooded bird. It wasn't half lizard, half bird. But anyway, they found another feathered lizard in China that was trumpeted as the latest great link between lizards and birds, as lizards allegedly evolved into birds somewhat 90 million years ago. Well, it was later determined to be a fraud. Of course, the announcement that it was a fraud was not trumpeted from the hilltops, obviously. Minor disclaimers or apologies therewith, but that did not make front page news. But we have the instances like this every two or three years, Dr. Stan, as you're probably aware. None others are coming to mind now, but things that are trumpeted as being the missing link and struck down again, as always, with the big total of zero being discovered to this point in time. And, you know, it's interesting, Darwin said that if his theory turned out to be true, it would be because transitional creatures would be discovered in the fossil record. But here we are almost 200 years later, and zero, zip, nada, none, zero missing links between any types of creatures. In the fossil record, birds are birds, reptiles are reptiles, mammals are mammals, monkeys are monkeys, humans are humans, a fish or fish, on and on and on. There are no transitional forms. None of this Darwinian morphing.
I think it's really so interesting to go back and study the hoax of the Piltdown Man. It was a hoax. It was a scientific hoax that was accepted by all these learned, smart professors all over the world for almost 50 years.
That's right.
And then it turned out it was an intentional hoax. It was all make-believe. And you go back to the
textbooks.
Right. And, of course, when I went to college, this is what they told us. The Piltdown Man was the missing link. Now, how could all these smart scientists have accepted something that was totally fraudulent? Because of their worldview. Because there are only really two possibilities. Either God created the heavens and the earth, or it all evolved, as they say. And since they cannot accept God, they had to accept the lie. And that's the great tragedy of today. We got an awful lot of scientists who are accepting this lie. And, of course, when they begin thinking about it, they look at the DNA, and they begin to realize there has to be some sort of a creator who created something as marvelous as the DNA structure that allows us to reproduce and to live as we do. But, of course, they don't want to accept that, so they have to imagine, well, maybe it came from outer space. That's where it came from. Anything other than accepting the very simple idea, God created the heavens and the earth.
That's right. They'd rather believe in Martians than in a creator God.
Okay, fine. Well, now, why don't you tell us a little bit more about your book and, of course, the message you'd like to get out to our listeners?
Sure. Just for the record, again, my website's Genesis. Veracity, V-E-R-A-C-I-T-Y, GenesisVeracity.com. I have 13 articles there at my website that present the overwhelming evidences that corroborate the Genesis flood. You know, as Dr. Stan was speaking, there are hundreds of tribes today that have ancient ancestral knowledge of this global encompassing flood. And these are tribes, often rival tribes, that have no interest in copying each other's legends. You know, and what are the odds that hundreds of tribes from all of the continents would have noted in their histories a global water catastrophe? Now, you figure up the odds of that. All these tribes coming up with the same legends, dreaming up the same legend. Why didn't they dream up a legend of fire or a legend of wind or a legend of snow? No, all a global flood, a global catastrophe. Now, you have to admit the odds of that amongst hundreds of current tribes and all of the ancient Middle Eastern countries. Ancient Egypt had a global encompassing flood legend, as did the Babylonians, the Sumerians, the Greeks, the Hittites, the Chinese, as Dr. Stan was saying, the ancient Hindus there in the Indus civilization in India, Manu and the seven rishis, total of eight, just as written in the Genesis account. The Chinese symbol for boat is eight dots over within a concave down form. That's eight people on the ark once again. On and on and on, this ancestral ancient knowledge of this global flood permeates through all the extant as well as ancient cultures. So the evidence really is overwhelming. And I decoded recently the astronomically derived dimensions of the Great Pyramid of Giza. The mystery of the dimensions of the Great Pyramid of Giza have been removed with this article, and no flaw has been found in it yet, and it explains that the ancients were mapping and surveying with great accuracy during the Ice Age, which occurred just after Noah's flood. That's article number 11 at my website again, GenesisVeracity.com. I encourage you to read those articles, particularly number 11.
All right, fine. Well, of course, when we get back, James will explore a little bit more of this, and perhaps he'll tell us a little something about, we've heard that there's been a shift in these plates that somehow is going to have some impact upon the rotation of the Earth. Are you looked into that at all?
I've studied the rotation of the Earth, and I've got a little interesting information on that line for you.
All right, we'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest today is James Newhouse, and we're talking about his book, and what's the title again?
Old Earth, Why Not?
Old Earth, Why Not? We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. Or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is James Nienhaus. James, you want to go ahead and pick up the story there?
Which story?
Well, you were going to tell us, beginning to talk a little bit about the Great Pyramid. And, of course, people have to understand, the Great Pyramid really has tremendous spiritual significance. It is aligned with the north, south, east, west. It was built, I believe, using the supernatural information that was coming from the ancient mystery religions. And it is basically a symbol of the occult ancient mysteries. That's why it's on the back of our dollar bill. So go ahead and pick up your story of it, James.
Sure. The dimensions of the Great Pyramid, that's the big one of the three that are lined up like Orion's Belt, the three stars, Orion's Belt, or Osiris, also known in the ancient Egyptian religions. The Great Pyramid's dimensions are 143,200th the dimensions of the Northern Hemisphere. It's a direct downsizing of the northern hemisphere. In other words, the great, if you increase the size of the Great Pyramid by 43,200, it would fill the northern hemisphere. That is, the point of the pyramid, the top, would be at the North Pole, with the base of the pyramid filling the equator, if you will, the equator of the Earth. And they derived these astronomical dimensions for the Great Pyramid by measuring the precession of the Earth's axis. The Earth's axis wobbles, or would wobble once, in 25,920 years. And through the use of the Celtic or Celtic cross, which is a cross with a circular hub affixed to it, we've seen the gravestones in Ireland, the Celtic or Celtic cross, the cross with the circular hub on it. Well, this actually was a measuring device, which when oriented with a plumb bob to the Earth's gravity, measurements of the movement of the stars along the horizon, which are a manifestation of the wobble of the Earth that I was speaking of, the wobble of the axis of the Earth, a manifestation of this is the constellations apparently moving along the horizon at a rate measurable at 72 years per 1 degree. It takes 72 years for the constellations to move along the horizon 1 degree of 360 degrees. So the Egyptians were able to measure this, and through their knowledge that the one side of a hexagon is the same length as is the radius of a circle that goes around this hexagon, you know, a hexagon, six-sided figure, the length of one side is the same as the radius of that hexagon and or the circle that goes around said hexagon. With this knowledge, they were able to map on the Earth how far the constellations will move in one-sixth of the 25,920 years, that is, six sides of a hexagon. So that is the basics theory hinged, if you will, upon the measurement of the precession of the equinoxes, which is caused by the wobble of the Earth's axis, which was measured by the Egyptians, and it was utilized, this knowledge, for map making and surveying capabilities, i.e. the dimensions of the Great Pyramid of Giza. And with this knowledge and with this measuring device, the Celtic or Celtic cross, these guys were sailing the oceans of the world and making detailed maps with knowledge of longitude that was not to be matched until the 1800s A.D. And these maps are in the book called Maps of the Ancient Sea Kings by Charles Hapgood. And they show Antarctica drawn up by these Phoenician sailors, and composites of these Phoenician maps were utilized by the Turks in the 1500s, and when they state on these maps from the 1500s A.D. that their source maps were from the ancient library in Egypt, showing Antarctica. Antarctica wasn't discovered until the 1800s by the Russians, until 1818 A.D. by the Russians. So great corroborating evidence is that these guys were sailing and accurately mapping the globe in the centuries after the flood during the Ice Age, which occurred from about 2300 B.C. at the close of the flood till about 1500 B.C.
Well, of course, I've always felt that they're the people in Egypt, as the Druids, and certainly in England, were tapping into the ancient mystery religions, and this is, of course, where they got this tremendous scientific knowledge, and, of course, is the basis of modern-day geometry and trigonometry.
Amen. Our seconds of arc, minutes of arc, that all ties in, our time-keeping system, all ties into this ancient knowledge and measuring skill.
And, of course, those of you who listened to our program last week, you'll remember I had the Mason call in, the 33rd degree Mason, and he was talking about how they'd been around for 5,000 years. And, of course, one of their symbols is a pyramid, Capi and All-Seeing Eye, that you see on the back of the dollar bill. Well, what does this have to do with anything? Very simply, the Masons are the modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions, that other dimension we talk about so frequently.
A very important book is called Age, the Myth. Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were talking about my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. 500,000 Americans have died of AIDS. Another 1 million are infected. 20 million people have died throughout the world. Another 40 million are infected. The epidemic is totally unnecessary. Doctors know how to stop sexually transmitted disease, and every effort has been made to block the doctors from implementing an effective public health policy. I recommend my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. We have a great 4-tape set on population control. And then we have a video on population control, but we have my latest video. It comes from the last conference that we gave. It's called None Dare Call It Genocide. And if you haven't, I got the information. We recommend that you actually give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Ask for None Dare Call It Genocide. The life you save could be that of a loved one. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is James Nienhaus. James, why don't you go ahead and pick up, what's the message you would like to get to our listeners today?
Well, quickly, we were talking about the rotation of the Earth. Let me just interject here or just say here that the Earth's measured rotation rate is slowing 1 second or about 0.6 seconds per year. That's no lie. It is slowing down about a half a second per year. That is why we have to add leap seconds about every 500 days, or a leap second about every 500 days to the atomic clock, because the rate of the Earth's spin is slowing a half a second per year, Dr. Stan. So you extrapolate that rate back into the past,
billions and billions of years ago,
a day would have been 4 hours long. So that's another great indication that the Earth and universe are much younger than is popularly advertised.
Amen to that.
And secondly, there's a distinction that creation scientists and people who want to teach things other than Darwinian evolution to the kids in school. It's a semantic fix that the opponents of creationism and alternative theories of history, shall we say, put on people such as myself. They say that creationists, for lack of a more generic term, don't believe in evolution. Therefore, creationists should not be listened to. You know, all they spew is nonsense because they don't believe in evolution. Well, that's a semantic twist. That is a word play. The reality of the statement should be creationists don't believe in Darwinian evolution. See, but they say, well, creationists don't believe in evolution. Well, we don't believe in Darwinian evolution. We do believe in evolution in the sense of natural selection within the kinds of animals, for instance, within the cat kind or within the turtle kind. We don't believe in morphing of fish into birds, for instance. So that's the nuance, Dr. Stan. They say creationists don't believe in evolution, therefore their ideas should never be seriously entertained. But we need to correct them, Dr. Stan, and say, wrong, creation scientists don't believe in Darwinian evolution. We do believe in evolution per se. We don't believe in Darwinian evolution. Now, let's talk. Creationists do believe in evolution per se, just generic term to evolution in the sense of natural selection within the kinds of animals, but not morphing like Darwinists say happened from, say, you know, beetles into fish.
Well, of course, the problem with the whole theory of evolution is there are no intermediate species, and there are no intermediate specimens, and they keep trying to, since they don't have any, then they have to come up with something ridiculous like the horrible monster idea, like, you know, a reptile laid an egg, and then you got a bird. But the trouble is, he'd have to lay two eggs, and they would have to be two birds so that they could reproduce. And one would have to be a male, and one would have to be a female. And the chances of that thing happening, even one bird being produced, is pretty unusual. Two of them, I'd say that exactly the same time, well, I just don't believe it's going to happen. But you see, the evolutionist has to come up with some sort of a foolish theory, because the only other alternative is God created the heavens and the earth. So go ahead, James.
Yes. Let's see. What was that? Oh, I was just to reemphasize creationists out there and people who want theories other than Darwinian evolution to also be taught in schools. Don't let them tell you that creation scientists don't believe in evolution. We do believe in evolution per se, natural selection within the animal kinds. We don't believe in Darwinian evolution. So don't let them say creationists don't believe in evolution. Do let them say creationists don't believe in Darwinian evolution.
All right, well,
that's the key point of the debate.
All right, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for James, why, of course, he has spent a great deal of time studying this whole debate. You know, did God create the heavens and the earth, or did this simply life come? Well, it evolved. How did it evolve? Well, if you can't get people to believe that it evolved from the slime, then it came from outer space. But then, of course, where did the life in outer space come from? Well, you're not supposed to ask those questions. But now, of course, the evolutionists have a real problem. Because now, as they look and they see the magnificent design of the DNA helix, you know, how do you explain something like that so perfectly organized, with each gene in its place and each gene manifesting and producing certain proteins or enzymes? How do you explain this, the similarities between all living species? But man is completely different than any other animal, has a completely different genetic makeup. There may be slight differences between men, but there's no transition between apes or baboons or orangutans and human beings. So how do you explain this? How do the geneticists, how do the scientists explain, you know, the genetic findings, which really, I think, do more than anything to suggest that the biblical story is really true, that all men and all women came from one original man and one original woman?
Sure. You know, the Y chromosome variation within the current human population, the variation can be traced back how long it would have taken to get that variation. It only traces back to thousands of years, right within the biblical time frame, with the population bottleneck of Noah's flood at 4,400 years ago. It's within that margin of error, Dr. Stan, this Y chromosome variation amongst the males of the current human population. And amongst the females of the current human population, the mitochondrial DNA variation can also be traced back in the time. And that also falls within the biblical time frame, within the margins of error. So, you know, the scientists are just facing it head on. You know, here we're supposed to be transitioning from monkeys about 50,000 years ago, and yet we got the original man and woman only several thousand years ago. So they're just totally left bamboozled. But these the downsides of all their theorizing are never presented, except for shows like yours, Dr. Sand. Thank God for that.
Well, of course, the thing is that the people who control the mass media and control the foundations and control the educational system and the corporation, the government, the educational establishment, they have an agenda. And, of course, that is to destroy our belief in God, because that's really what it's all about. That's the purpose of education today, not to educate our children, because if they're trying to educate them, they're doing a terrible job. It's to destroy their faith in God, and they're doing a pretty good job of that. An awful lot of our young people come out of school totally confused, and even though many of them come from Christian families, they do not believe in absolutes. They don't believe the Bible is accurate. After all, evolution has disproven the Bible. Well, evolution hasn't disproven the Bible. In fact, you know, if you study what's going on today, why more and more comes up to verify that we did come from a common ancestor not that long ago.
That's right. Original eight. You know, eight pops up in a lot of ancient legends. As I was saying, Manu and the seven rishis survived the global encompassing flood. In ancient Egypt, Thoth and the seven sages wrote out the global encompassing flood. In ancient Babylon, Zisudra and the seven apkalu, maybe that's the word apocalypse comes from, ancient Babylonian perhaps, total of eight, once again, wrote out this global encompassing flood. All the legends of the disparate people groups of the world point back to this original time with this global encompassing flood from which their original ancestors came forth. You know, the king's list of the Brits was prominently displayed in two museums of Britain until Darwinism became popular, at which point it was relegated to the basement, I suppose. But it showed all the kings of England back through the ancient Welsh, back through Brutus of Troy, all the way back to Japheth and Sesquef, on to Noah himself as being the first king of the line of the ancient British Welsh kings. Very interesting. The Irish trace theirs all the way back to Noah as well, as do the Vikings, as do the Miazzo tribe of southwestern China, all the way back to a guy named Nuah, N-U-A-H, global encompassing flood once again. On and on and on and on and on, Dr. Stan. These, quote, coincidences, end quote, keep popping up. And if I could just, my website again, genesisveracity.com. I was speaking of the astronomically derived dimensions of the Great Pyramid of Giza and the mapping that occurred because of that knowledge. That's article number 11 at that website. And I hope the people will submit that to professors and ask them to rebut it. Because no flaw has been found in it. And it will turn the way we look at ancient history, that is, post-flood history in reality. It's going to shake up a lot of notions about ancient history. So I encourage everybody to read that article number 11, please.
Well, is that the one that deals with all of these various coincidences that everybody seems to have felt that there were eight people in their flood?
Well, those are in other articles at the website as well, Dr. Stan. But this Article 11 describes the math and the technology that allowed the ancients to accurately map latitude and longitude with extreme accuracy through their knowledge and measurement of the precession of the constellations along the horizon.
And, of course, basically the ancient societies tapped into this hidden knowledge, this mystery knowledge, and these ideas were passed down by the mystery of religions from generation to generation. And, of course, you can study the background of Pythagoras. And actually, he was living in a Greek town. It was actually on the southern part of Italy. It was about Socrates was probably about 300 AD. He was about 100 years before that, maybe 400 BC, I should say. Maybe around 400 BC, and Pythagoras was over in the Middle East, tapping into all this hidden knowledge of the mystery religions. And then, of course, he came over and set up a school to teaching the mystery religions. And then a generation later along comes Socrates, and then his student Plato, and they were all into the mysteries, as was Aristotle, as was Alexander the Great.
And yet their maps, Dr. Stan, the ancient Greek maps of Ptolemy,
right,
are not nearly as accurate as these source maps that I was speaking of previously that even show Antarctica. It is remarkable. These were drawn up in the centuries after the flood during the Ice Age. These were drawn up by the ancient Phoenician and Egyptian and Minoan mariners around 2000 BC, I'm convinced, Dr. Stan. It's remarkable. And it all ties into this knowledge of the hexagon vis-a-vis the radius of the Earth, vis-a-vis the measurement of the precession of the equinox.
Well, of course, the Pythagorean dictum was A square plus B square equals C square. In other words, the square of the two sides of a right angle triangle are equal to the square of the hypotenuse of the triangle. And I often ask people, do you think that Pythagoras just sat down one day and said, I think A square plus B square equals C square. Where did he get this? We got it from the teachers of the ancient mystery religions.
Oh,
and it's always been there.
And Dr. Stan, let me just interject this. Everybody understands that there's an intellect and some type of knowledge involved in the Great Pyramids by their dimensions alone being coincidentally, as I said previously, a scaled-down model of the northern hemisphere of the Earth by 143,200. And so, therefore, we are faced with either one of two alternatives. Either this knowledge just came to the Egyptians miraculously out of nowhere as all these civilizations sprang up miraculously with no sign of evolution to them, or that knowledge was sent to us by space aliens. Now you got to take one of the two. Now, if you want to take space aliens, go for it. But right here is the explanation in that article number 11, how they measured the movement of the stars along the horizon, and through their knowledge of geometry, they were able to map the Earth. It's there in article number 11. So you can take your pick, space aliens or just simple simple arithmetic.
All right, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is James Neenhouse, and of course his web space is, go ahead,
Genesis Veracity, veracity.com.
All right, Genesis Veracity. And how can people get copies of your book, James?
Through that website, genesisveracity.com, and the free articles there, 13 very interesting articles, I think you'll find. And genesisveracity.com. Appreciate it.
And you have a telephone number that you'd like to get out?
Sure, 713-784-6618.
Why don't you get that out one more time? You always have to repeat the number twice because never get it down right.
I can even do it backwards. No, just kidding. 713-784-6618.
All right, 713-784-6618. If you'd like to get James's book, Old Earth, Why Not? And, of course, this is the major problem we have today, or one of the major problems, is they've done such a good job of convincing young people that the Bible is a lie. And it is simply part of their effort to destroy the faith of our children. That's why, of course, they demand they go to public schools. There is no free lunch. The only reason they give your kids a free education is so that they can indoctrinate them in a hatred of the parent and of family and certainly of God. And if you can convince them once that evolution is true, then, of course, they have to accept the fact that the Bible is a lie because they are totally incompatible. And so that's really what it's all about. That's why if there's any way you can keep your child from going to a government school where they're going to turn them up against God, why you should certainly try to do it. Well, James, do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners today? We've got about a minute and a half to go.
Yes, just to follow up just on what you just now said, Doc. Creationists do believe in evolution per se, so don't let them say that creationists don't believe in evolution. We do believe in evolution per se. We do not believe in Darwinian evolution. That's the distinction. That's what they use in the arguments debating creation evolution and its education thereof in the public venues. So understand that distinction. Creationists do believe in evolution. We don't believe in Darwinian evolution.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us, James. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you, Doctor, very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was James Nienhaus, and, of course, his book, Old Earth, Why Not? And we do carry a couple of books. One's a very inexpensive book called The Evolution Cruncher, and it's, I think it's maybe $6 or $7. It's almost be 400 or 500 pages, just all the questions and answers. And then we have another book by James Perloff called Tornado in a Junkyard. That's Tornado in a Junkyard, with this idea that, you know, if we had a tornado go through a junkyard and it came out with a 747, well, are you going to really believe something like that could happen? No, of course not. The 747 has to be built and planned, and it has to be an engineering masterpiece. And yet, look at the human body, look at the human hand, look at the little finger. The fact that it moves and works as well as it does suggests that there is a designer. And if there's a designer, then there has to be a God.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future, are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just acquaint you with some of the specials that we have. We have a Vietnam special, and it includes three tape sets, one on Vietnam, one on the men we left behind, one on One Man Returned. You'll get a copy of Michael New's book, and then, of course, a video, The History of Modern Wars, and the Senate report on the men we left behind. Actually, this is the long-suppressed Senate Intelligence Committee report, and, Senate Foreign Relations Committee report. That's the Vietnam special. It's a $97 value for $69.95, and we paid the we pay the shipping on that here in the United States. And then, of course, we have the four tape sets on the secret government, or you can get the secret government special, which is 2 4 tape sets and two videos. That's the secret government special, the population control special, and then, of course, we have a pagan agenda special, an Oklahoma City special, and a none dare call it treason special. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And we have a video special. You can get any five videos that we have actually produced ourselves for $69.95. And that's Old Brotherhood of Darkness, or Iraq, the Untold Story, or Population Control, or The Best Enemy Money Could Buy. We've probably got 10 or 15 videos, the latest one, which is called None Dare Call It Genocide. If you sit down and watch these videos, and I have to apologize because you're going to be watching me talk for one or two or 2.5 hours at a time, but you'll get a lot of education. The video special, $69.95, any five videos we've actually produced on the video special, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. A call right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. 5 hours a day, 5 hours on radio, 5 hours on the internet, 5 hours on satellite, 4 hours on shortwave. If you'd like to know how to get to our programs, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, you can listen to our programs on the Internet there, 3 hours a day live, and link to the other networks we're on. And you can get the list of our shortwave frequencies. You can look at the books we offer, the videos we offer, the four tape sets we offer. And we do carry the Berkey products. If you want a big Berkey or a Berkey light and you want to get the fluoride out of your water, and if you're in an area with fluoridated water, get it out of there, because it's going to have a profound impact on your mind and the mind of your children and your grandchildren. And all you need to do is know that in areas with a high fluoride content in the water, why, they drop off about 10 points of the IQ. And of course, it attacks fertility, it attacks the thyroid. You need to get the information. You really need to get our four tape set on fluoride. You need to get our four-tape set on aspartame. You need to get our four-tape set on mercury. And then, of course, we have the book, The Fluoride Deception, and we're going to have a new DVD that's going to be available on fluoride, and you can order that now, and we'll get you a copy as soon as they get in here. We have a video on mercury. It's called Uninformed Consent, and it goes into the toxic effect of mercury. We have a video going into aspartame. It's called Sweet Misery, and interviews people who've had progressive neurological problems with using NutraSweet. And, of course, it attacks the fertility. It attacks the mind as well. In fact, pilots are told not to drink NutraSweet or other aspartame products when they're going to be flying. Why? Because they know what it does to the mind. They just don't want you to know what it does to the mind. So, and then, of course, if you have not yet seen my video, it's entitled None Dare Call It Genocide. It's the latest video we have out, and we recommend it. We think it's certainly it's just me talking, but there's a tremendous amount of information there tying together everything that's going on today. Did you know, for instance, the hepatitis B? Oh, we've got to give it to all the children. We've got to give it in the nursery. And yet, of course, if you study nurses who've taken the hepatitis B vaccine, you get three times the incidence of multiple sclerosis three years down the line. But they don't want people to know that. We have a great new book we're carrying. It's called Vaccine A. It's the story of the anthrax vaccine, which was an experimental vaccine they gave to our troops. And so many of them, of course, have permanent changes, the autoimmune disease as a result of the adjuvant they use there. And, of course, if you look at the statistics, why 62% of the British troops have a permanent residual from the first Gulf War because of the vaccines, the experimental vaccine. I think it's about 65% of the troops from New England, maybe about 43 or 4% of one group from Kansas, about 38% another. These are permanently incapacitated young men. Why? Why? Because they were given an experimental vaccine. You need to get the book Vaccine A. We carry that. And then, of course, we have the book of the virus and the vaccine, going into how, when they gave out the initial saline polio vaccine, they contaminated millions and millions of Americans with a cancer-producing virus, and they have to keep this secret because, after all, if the American people realize that, you might not trust them. You might not take the influenza shot, which is loaded with thimerosal and produces Alzheimer's disease. And Dr. Fudenberg, one of the deans of vaccinologists in America, as the abstract of his article, would be glad to send it to you. If you are between 60 and 65 and you take four vaccine shots over a five-year period, your incidence of Alzheimer's goes up 1,000%. Why do you think that they're trying so hard to get everybody to take that? Why, you would have to be awfully evil to want to do something like that. But unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we do have evil people out there. So pray for America. Remember our number? It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.